FameLab this week is about the birds and the bees. Of course, insects normally do most of the pollination in flowering plants, but it's different in the West. Here's Bronwyn Eyre, who is a finalist in FameLab in Fremantle.
Sometimes it's done by gravity, it's done by insects, and it's occasionally done by vertebrates. Some birds, small mammals, rats, bats, and even the occasional lizard will feed on pollen and then carry a little bit of that along to the next plant that they visit. Vertebrate pollination worldwide is incredibly rare. Here in the southwest corner of Australia, however, we have over 1,200 plant species that are pollinated by birds or mammals. That actually makes us the world hotspot. He's the red and green kangaroo paw. If you're from WA, you've probably seen him around because he's our state floral emblem. They're pretty well known for their really strange-looking flowers that are red and green and have these weird tubular curves in them at the end. What's really interesting about them is they're visited not only by nectar-feeding birds, but also by the European honeybee. And this gives me a great opportunity to look at bird and insect pollination on the same plant. To do this, I use a pretty high-tech piece of equipment. It's chicken wire that has these small holes that means that bees can fly in and out of the gaps as much as they like, but birds don't have access to the flowers. I then go back and I collect seeds from all my flowers in the field, and I found that when bees are the only ones pollinating, so no birds are visiting these flowers, they produce up to 95% less seed, which makes a big difference in the reproductive success of a plant. But why is this the case? It turns out that size actually matters. Because kangaroo paws are curved and have their reproductive organs at the front and the nectar at the base, whenever a bird flies in, it brushes up against the female and the male part to steal nectar. Bees, on the other hand, are so small and use entirely the wrong technique, they often bypass this sweet spot altogether and just go right in and please themselves. The next step is going to be understanding why this is happening. Why has a kangaroo paw got these evolutionary traits that promotes bird pollination over insect pollination? To do this, I'm going to be taking those seeds from bird-pollinated plants and from bee-pollinated plants and figuring out who the father is, because we think that when birds are pollinating, they're carrying pollen further and more diverse amounts of pollen further than bees ever could. So by assigning fathers, I can tell you just how far that pollen's travelled before it's reached the mother plant. These sorts of studies are incredibly important here in the southwest corner, as we're not only the world's hotspot for bird and mammal pollination, but 40% of our plant species here threatened with extinction are pollinated by birds and mammals, and we don't know why. But that's where my research group comes in, because we hope that by getting a better understanding of what's going on, we can help preserve these wonderful plants for the future. Thank you.
Okay. Helen.
Chicken wire. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the methodology you're using here and then switching on to what you're going to do next?
I literally make cages out of chicken wire and I go out into the field and I put them over plants. It looks ridiculous. I've had hikers coming through sort of stop and wonder what on earth I'm doing to these poor flowers. But something so simple like that works. It really works to keep the birds out. The next step, my background is in genetics, so I get to put that to use. And it's the same way that you figure out paternity with a human. If you know the mum and their genetic information, then you have a random selection of possible fathers and you can match the father to the seedling's genotype.
Thank you so much. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about my favourite species, and that's the honey possum, Taspis rostratus.
Yes.
So this little creature lives on Banksias and it feeds exclusively on pollen and nectar. So it's very exclusive in its tastes. Have you done any studies of the mammals? You're doing birds at the moment, and I think that's wonderful. But they're an important part, aren't they? And if we lost the honey possum, then we would lose the Banksias and the other way around.
Yeah, they're amazing little creatures. Fortunately, or unfortunately, in my sites, we don't have any honey possums, but I do have a colleague who's in the audience at the moment who's working in sites with honey possums and looking at their role in pollination as well. And they're the most incredible and adorable little creatures you'll ever see. They're amazing.
I would agree with that. Thank you.
Yes, a hot spot for a huge variety of plants. Is there a matching huge variety of birds, both in numbers and species?
No, there isn't. Most nectar-feeding birds are a lot more generalist, so they'll visit as many plants as they can to get the nectar that they need. So it's the plants that are really specialised.
Fantastic. All right, round of applause. Bronwyn.
Bronwyn Eyre from the University of Western Australia and King's Park at FameLab, run by the British Council with judges Helen O'Neill and Lynn Beasley.